Acts chapter 10, verses 39 through 43, I want to read. And then we're going to look at a couple other scriptures. And I want you to notice a phrase that appears in all three of these scriptures that I'm going to bring to your attention here in a moment. And I want to talk about that as this is our 24th lesson on the subject of prophecy. It says, "And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead." Now, I don't know if you remember Sunday night sermon, the ministry of eating. Remember that? And I did not bring out this verse in the message Sunday night. But notice that after his resurrection, he showed himself to particular witnesses, 500 at one time. But we know of three times, and each time involved eating and drinking. And that's what verse 41 says. And we talked about the ministry of hospitality and entertaining and having people over to our homes and so on, as well as having big feast days on occasions. But let me get to tonight's subject. "And he commanded us to preach unto the people," verse 42, "and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Now notice verse 42 of my text. God, Jesus Christ, is ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. Notice that phrase, quick and dead. The judge of quick and dead. Now turn to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy and chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and his appearing and his kingdom." Now notice the phrase for the second time. It tells us that Jesus Christ will judge the quick and the dead, and it tells us when that will happen. The first will be at his appearing, and the second will be at his kingdom. I believe that means to be that he will judge the quick at his appearing, which is the rapture, and he will judge the dead at the beginning of his kingdom. At the end of his kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ in Revelation 19. And so there are going to be two judgments of the quick and the dead, but notice again the phrase, the quick and the dead. Now turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 5. 1 Peter 4 and verse number 5. It says this, "Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Who shall give account to him who is ready to judge the quick and the dead?" So notice three times, if you will, in the New Testament, we see that there is going to be a judgment of the quick and a judgment of the dead. And I want to speak tonight on the subject of the coming judgments. The coming judgments. One cannot study prophecy without coming around to the prophecies about the coming judgments. Now that is a sobering thought, and yet it is something that we can be ready for. The Apostle John said that there are some who are going to have boldness in the day of judgment. I hope you will live in such a way, and I will live in such a way, that we'll have boldness in the day of judgment. There are some, John said, will be ashamed before him at his coming. It's going to be one or the other for us. We're going to either have boldness, and that word boldness doesn't mean arrogance at all. It just means that we'll have confidence to stand before Christ, some people, and say, "Lord, you know the best that I could. I did what was right in your sight." Some people will be able to have boldness on the day of judgment. Others will be ashamed before him. I want you to notice the coming judgments as a study of prophecy tonight. I just have 2 points. Notice number one, the judgment of the quick. The judgment of the quick. I showed you 3 times where he will judge the quick and the dead. Now, by quick, we don't mean somebody who's fast at running, you know, or somebody who plays is rollerblading or playing basketball or football. We don't mean that. The word quick has changed in its meaning some in the English language. The word quick here means to be alive or to be made alive. The word for quick is a Greek word, zao, Z-A-O, and that word is found 127 times in the New Testament. 117 out of the 127 times it is translated into our English word, live. Live, L-I-V-E. Most of the times it's translated into the word live. 4 times it's translated into the word quick, and then 6 times into a couple other words. So the word quick means to live or to be alive. To live or to be alive. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 1 says this, "And you hath he quickened." It doesn't mean he made you a faster runner. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." So notice the word quick is the opposite of dead. There was a time when you and I were dead in our trespasses and sins, but Jesus Christ made us alive. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us." So notice this word dead and then the word quickened in verses 1 and verses 5. He made us alive together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. So understand, when it talks about the judgment of the quick, it means the judgment of the born-again Christian. The judgment of the born-again believer, the one who was at one time dead in their trespasses and sins, but then Christ, by his mercy, came and saved us and made us alive. We are now alive in Christ Jesus. So there is going to be a judgment. Jesus is going to come and judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Now, he's going to judge us at his appearing. That means sometime after the rapture, during what appears to be a 7-year period when we are translated into heaven. We know of many events that are going to take place that we spelled out in the book of Revelation in earlier studies, including the marriage supper of the Lamb. But there seems to be 2 main events that we all will be a part of. Number one is our own personal judgment before the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That comes from a Greek word, bema, B-E-M-A. It's a different word than that which is used for the word great white throne judgment for the lost. The word bema comes from the Olympics. This year they're going to have the Olympics, and they don't do it like they used to do, but my wife and I were in Greece once, and we went to the original Olympic Stadium, and there at the top is the place where the judges would look down and watch to see how they ran the race and then reward them accordingly to see if they ran the race according to the rules, did they finish their race, what place did they come in. And the Bible says, so we ought to run that we may obtain. And it is not a judgment of condemnation to determine whether or not we go to heaven or hell. That's already been settled in this life. This is a judgment to determine the rewards that we receive for the race we ran or didn't run based on our free will of whether we wanted to embrace God's will for our life or just do our own thing. But this is something that we are all going to face someday, and it ought to sober us. Christ is the judge, and we're going to stand before Him someday. He's watching the way we run the race that He has given us to run since He saved our souls. In John 5 and verse 25 and 26, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now it is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." That means those that are buried. "For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man." So Jesus Christ is going to be the one who has been designated authority by God to judge us, because He was the Son of Man, because He once walked this earth, and He'll be able to judge us fairly. He knows what we're going through. And but there is going to be a judgment of each and every one of us believers. Now, I have no idea what's planned for your future on this earth. I may die tomorrow. I don't know. I may have an accident, a heart attack, or something like this. But there's one thing I know for sure about every person in this room, that at the end of your race, you'll stand before Christ. Every one of you. You'll stand before Christ. We can hope this is just a fairy tale, or I hope it's just some scare tactic or something, but it's real. And it just seems like a wise person would get ready for such a time as that. We ought to live every single day. You are the quick. You are those that are alive, that are born again, and the Lord is ready to judge us. Now, the best text that I know of that describes our judgment is found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And if you'll turn there, I want to just go through verses 10 through 15 just for a little bit, a couple other verses, and then we'll go on to the judgment of the dead. Really, we should have two messages at least on this, because they're much deeper than what I have brought out tonight. But the Apostle Paul brings up the judgment of the quick, the judgment of the believer. And you don't want to miss this judgment. Because if you go to the next one, no one makes it at that one. No one makes it at the great white throne judgment. You want to make sure you're saved. But if you are saved, you want to take this now into heart tonight as instructions for you and I of what we're going to face someday here. It says this in verse 10, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me," 1 Corinthians 3, "as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon." Upon. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And so this is talking to the believer. It's talking about our judgment, as we'll see. It is a judgment of our works that we do from the moment we're saved until the moment we die or the rapture takes place. In between those two points, we either work for the Lord or just live for ourselves. And everything we do in that time frame between the day the Lord saved us to the day we're raptured out, if we live that long, or till we die, and everything in between, we will be judged for. "Now, if any man build upon this foundation of Jesus Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble." Notice the word work now. "Every man's work shall be made manifest," or known, "for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Notice the word work in verse 13, twice, verse 14 and 15. four times, it is a judgment of our work. Our work, our work, our work. Which should tell us tonight that we ought to be doing something for the Lord. Every one of us ought to find a work to do for the Lord and get busy doing it. He saved us to serve. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk therein." We are ordained to do good works. The Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We not only should do good works, but everybody should see us doing them. Not because we're show-offs or proud or Pharisees or anything like that, but because it's just so much a part of our love for Christ, it can't be hidden. We ought to love the Lord so much that it can't be hidden, the fact that we're always doing things for him and for other people. "Now every man's work shall be made manifest." That means your work, verse 13, my work. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Our works are compared to gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. There is a fire in heaven that's going to try our works. Now this is not to be confused with a lake of fire. This is the refining fire of God's judgment, where our life is tested, and figuratively our life is run through fire to see what is consumed and what remains. Our works are compared to sometimes wood, hay, and stubble, other times gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, as you put those items into a fire, you know that the fire is going to consume the wood, hay, and the stubble, and there's going to be nothing left. The gold, silver, and precious stones, however, will abide the fire. And it says in verse 14, "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon Christ, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss." So there's such a thing as suffering loss in heaven. And I'll give you a few verses later that teach that. And again, this is a subject that's pretty deep, and many other verses talk about how we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I think 2 Corinthians 5:10, I think Romans 5:10, I'm not sure. But our works are going to be tried by fire. "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved." Verse 15. "Yet so as by fire." Salvation is determined in this life, not at this judgment. It's determined by accepting Christ as your Savior and believing on the Lord. But after that, we ought to go to work for the Lord. We ought to be busy for God. What are you doing for God? Some of our lives will suffer loss. I can think of a season of about 4 years in my life as a believer where I was living completely in sin. I've never been a lukewarm believer. I've either been hot or cold. I've never been in between. But there was a season of about 4 years where I was living in sin, 3-4 years, especially when I was in the military and I was out of God's will. I wasn't out of God's family, but I was out of God's will. I was living in sin, doing all kinds of horrible things. I never went to church, never cracked my Bible open, never prayed, never witnessed. I didn't want anyone to know I was a believer, and in a sense, I'm glad right now for that. I believe those 3 or 4 years someday are going to be brought up of the 38 years that I've been in Christ, and are going to be put into the fire, the metaphoric fire here, and they're going to be burned up, and there will be absolutely nothing from those years left of my life to reward me for in heaven. What I could have done for Christ during those 4 years was wasted and gone forever. I have no chance whatsoever of ever getting the rewards back that I could have earned during that time, because I decided to live for myself and to live in sin. But the other times that I've tried to live for the Lord is like wood, is like gold, silver, and precious stones. That'll also be tried by fire. Now, some of it I did with the wrong motive, and that'll be burned up. But some of it I did with the right motive, and I did it for the Lord. I gave you a little illustration. I know a man who's a believer in Christ. I really believe he's saved. I really do. I honestly believe he's saved. I've heard his testimony. I don't know what else to say to him. He has a great testimony of a salvation experience and so on and so forth. All right? At this moment in his life is spent as a bartender. That's what he does for a living. He is tending bar. And I've talked to him. I've tried to get him to repent of that, to get back to church, back into fellowship with God's people, and so on and so forth. And there's a part of me that understands that life, because I was there once. And I don't understand why I did what I did, but that's the way this man's living right now. That's the way he's living. And take this. That's one man. Then take another man. Let's just take Pastor Seth there. He's living for God. All right, he's going out to the fair. He'll be out at the tents there in Dunkirk and Hamburg trying to win souls and up in wherever else he goes, Niagara Falls and the festivals and so on and so forth. And he's trying to live for the Lord. Two men, both saved. One is living for the Lord. And in trying to have a right motive, not doing this for show or anything like that, but trying to honor Christ. And the other man is just living for himself, and he's decided that this is what he's got to do to make funny, not to make funny, to make money to feed his family. All right? I believe, according to the Scriptures, both of these men are going to stand before the Lord someday at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't think he can lose his salvation because he became a bartender. Because I don't believe the gospel is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and never become a bartender, and thou shalt be saved. I don't believe that's the gospel. Now, I believe the Lord's going to hammer this guy, and he's going to chasten this guy, because whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and every single one of his children's chastised, or you're not one of God's children. And God's going to straighten him out, just like God straightened me out. Finally. But someday these lives are going to be brought up at the judgment seat of Christ. And their lives are going to be thrown in the fire. John said, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The life of the person who does God's will be talked about forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. The life of the person who lived for themselves after they were saved, or part of the time after they were saved, will be forgotten, and the Scripture says burned up, and it says there'll be no remembrance of those things again. Ever. We need to work for the Lord. We need to build upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ so we can receive a reward. Look at the next chapter. I want to show you a verse in chapter 4 and verse 5. I think the subject continues here about our need to be good stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 5 says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. The Lord's going to find something good to say about every one of his children. But I want you to notice on this judgment that God is going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness. I want to encourage you tonight as a believer in Christ, do not have a dark side to your life. Do not have a dark side to your life. Or this could be a very embarrassing moment. I don't believe we're going to be judged for our sins. It says we're going to be judged for our works, our works, our works, our works. But other scriptures say both our good works and our evil works. Sin will not come up in judgment against us because Christ was judged for all of our sins back on the cross. But our works will come up, even those that are evil. And in that sense, sin will come up at the judgment. I want to encourage you, do not have a dark side to your life. Whatever it takes, I want to encourage you to get your thought life right with God, your heart right with God. You know, I'm amazed at how many times when people have a dark side, they get caught. So be sure your sins will find you out. But there's also a verse in Timothy that says, some men's sins are hidden. But it'll be brought out on that day in the form of their evil works. Some are experts at hiding it, and they get away with it. But not on that day. Not on that day. If you have some secret addictions, some secret romances, some secret thought life or heart, or some secret hatred or something like that, those things are going to come to light on that day. This is sobering business tonight. And there's not enough preaching anymore on the judgment day. It's going to be a day of loss. They shall suffer loss. It says right here, if a man's work be burned in verse number 15. Now, John said this in 2 John and verse number 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. John brings out the possibility of a person working for rewards, working for the Lord, earning rewards, but then possibly doing something in this life to cause them to lose those rewards they had previously worked for. I think it's called quitting. I think a lot of people, the Lord just keeps piling up the rewards for them in heaven. And John says, look to yourselves, pay attention to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought or worked for, but that we receive a full reward. Nehemiah one time prayed this, Nehemiah 13:14, remember me, O God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. Nehemiah had some discernment there about the judgment. He said, Lord, remember me. Everything I'm doing, please remember me. Don't wipe out my good deeds that I've done for your house. He recognized there was the possibility of having our good deeds wiped out. Sometimes I wonder about some of these people who worked and worked hard for years and years and years, and then they fall off into sin or they quit or something like that. I wonder what happens sometimes up there. Colossians 2, verse 18 warns, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. I'm surprised how many people worship angels nowadays. You got to get them things out of your home. I don't care how much you like them. I don't care if you just think they're figurines or something. Throw them in the trash. We need to quit worshiping angels and giving angels all this credit for this, that, and the other. Give the Lord the glory for what he's done. I know his angels do a lot for us, but give God the glory for sending them to us. We can be beguiled of our reward. Now, our work is going to be judged, notice, for what sort it is, not what size it is. There's some that seem to have this concept that the bigger the better and the happier God is. No, it's what sort it is. Is it holy? Is it done out of love for God? Is it done out of love for others? Is it done out of love for souls? What sort it is? Doesn't matter. It could be working in the nursery. If that's what God wants you to do, do it. Could be just helping that elderly neighbor lady next door. Nobody ever sees you do that but the Lord. And you do it with the right motive. You'll be rewarded for that. There's so much ruling, reigning, rewards, positions, crowns, glory, mansions. There's so much of this message. But I got to close here. There's going to be another judgment prophesied in the future, and that's the judgment of the dead. The judgment of the dead. We noticed earlier, three times there's going to be a judgment of the quick and the dead. The word quick means the alive ones, the born-again believer, those that were dead in sins but were quickened by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord Jesus. But then there's those that are going to remain dead. And over in Revelation 20, the very famous text, if you want to turn there, it tells us about their judgment. This is prophecy. This is in the future. This hasn't happened yet. It says in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne. This is not the judgment seat of Christ. That's the Bema seat. This is the great white throne. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. These are those that die in their sins, having never been born again. And I saw the dead. It's the same Greek word, by the way, that we saw earlier when it talked about us, when it said, and ye that were dead. Same Greek word here. And ye that were dead in your trespasses and sins hath he quickened. And here we have the dead, small and great. Micros and macros are the words here. That could mean small and great in stature, little people, tall people, or small or great in influence. Stand before God, and the books were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their what? Works. Same thing. They're not judged for their sins either. They're judged for their works. Jesus said, and this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. They didn't believe. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Boy, you want to make sure if anywhere you get your name on, it's in that book of life. That book of life. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Nobody makes it at this judgment. We've got to try to save souls. The books were opened. And another book. What are the books? What are the books that are open? You know, Jesus said this. We read earlier where the Father gave the Son authority to execute judgment. Now, what did the Son say about it? In John 12, in verse number 47 and 48, he says, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. See, when it talks about the books were open here, you know what that is? It's the Bible. Jesus said, at this judgment, I'm not going to judge anybody. We're going to open the Bible up. The books and the book of life. It says, and the books were opened. The Bible's going to be opened that day. Jesus said, I'm not going to judge you. The word that I've spoken on you, that'll judge you in that day. And this word over and over and over again says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And they're going to go through the record of everyone's life and said, you never did that. You never believed. You never received Christ as your Savior. You never obeyed the gospel. And then the Lord will close the Bible on each one and say, okay, check that book over there. And over there will be the Lamb's Book of Life. And they'll go through it and look for names that day. Name does not appear. They'll be cast, it says, into a lake of fire. This is the judgment of the dead. In closing, it says in Revelation 21 and 8, it says, but the fearful. And what's the next one? And unbelieving. Did you ever meet the fearful? Did you ever meet those and say, can I just take a few minutes and show you from the Bible how you can be saying, oh my God, and get real fearful. Give them a track. Oh, afraid of death to talk to you. Fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable. Murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is the judgment of the dead. The word part is very interesting. If you'll study it out, it refers to compartments, sections or allotments. I believe I could show you other scriptures tonight that would indicate that these who are cast into a lake of fire will be cast into different sections, allotments, or compartments, and will suffer at different degrees of suffering. And it's just something that you can study out, and because we're pretty much out of time tonight. But I just thought of one other verse. I love this verse. Revelation 2, verse 11 says this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Who is he that overcometh? 1 John 5, 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That's how we overcome. And he that overcometh shall not be hurt with the second death. Do you believe tonight that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe he is Lord? Do you believe he died on the cross for your sins, personally? If you were the only one that lived, that he would have died for you. He shed his blood to wash away your sins. He rose from the dead. Have you ever appropriated that to your life by personal faith and said, Lord, I believe, I receive you as my personal Savior? And the Bible would list you among those that are overcomers through Jesus Christ, on whom the second death will have no harm. But if not, man, please don't pretend. Don't be afraid of us here. Don't say, well, my mom, what's she going to think, or my dad, or I said a prayer with my dad when I was five. Or don't worry about that. Care enough about your own soul tonight. Paul even said to the church at Corinth one time, examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. Lest you be reprobates, he said. Examine yourselves. You heard the gospel so many times in this church and other churches. That doesn't mean you're saved. There's going to be a judgment of the quick and the dead. Which one will you appear at? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.